1, beginning with verse 19. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
The Word of God says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This time I'd like to go to God in prayer. Bruce, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Take a deep breath. We live in a very fast-paced society today, don't we? And people are just what? Going. We went down to see the kids yesterday, and isn't it amazing? I have hardly never ever drove anywhere that I haven't seen anybody. Is that like you all? And you think to yourself, where in the world, what, did all these people come from? They're everywhere. You ever drove around in the country, and you drive around, and you'll think, well, I'm going to go to the remote part of Metcalf County. I'm going to go to the remote part of Monroe County. And you drive, and you say to yourself, I'm going to drive out to where I don't see anybody. Guess what? You're not going to find that spot, are you? Because people build houses everywhere. We just live in a society that is so fast-paced, so much, what, growing, that so often we just become so into all of those type of things. So often we just need to step back and take a big, deep breath. Don't. Do that with me this morning. Don't that feel good? Just to be able to feel that. Now, here in the scripture I read to you this morning, it says to us just not to breathe in the old air around about us, because we all know the air around about us is not very clean, isn't it? But we all know that the scripture says for us this morning, we need to humbly accept the word planted in you. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Aren't you glad to know today that God's word is just not words that are printed on a page, but God lives inside of you? Aren't you glad of that today? That should give you a sense of comfort, shouldn't it? A sense of knowing that you are not facing all of these things that are out in the world today and all this fast pace that is all around about us, but we still have the word of God planted inside of us. And the scripture says because of that word, we also can be what? Can be saved. That we can turn away from all the things of this world. Now the scripture I read to you this morning, you've heard it preached on many times, and I've probably preached on it before, about the importance of some characteristics that we take for granted in our life that we just do, and those things become so intertwined in our life, don't they? Things that we say, the way that we act, the way that we treat others around about us. I believe we can all agree today that we need more of the love of God in the world today, don't we?
Amen.
We need to stay away from all of those outside influences that comes into our church and comes into our lives, and replace those with accepting the word that is planted word inside of us, and allow those things to be the things that we share with the world. Yesterday, I was in my big truck, and we were going down to the kid's house, and Sheila was over there talking on her phone or doing something on her phone, and I was driving down the road, and the speed limit, you know, is 55 on most roads, isn't it? And they expect you to drive what speed? 55. Now, some people say, that's only a suggestion, right? No, they expect you to drive 55. Well, I was between over on Rust Springs on the way going over to Liberty, and Sheila wasn't talking to me. The radio was on, but I wasn't listening very well. I was in that zone. I had my hand laid on top of the steering wheel, you know, and our comfy seats that we have in our V8 vehicles now, and I was driving down the road, and I looked, and you're not going to believe what your preacher did. You want to know? I wasn't driving 55. I wasn't even driving, you ready for this? 65. I was driving that number that starts with a 7 and ends with a 0. I was driving 70. And as soon as I looked down there, I was like, oh, Lord, I need to slow down. Well, guess what? Who decided to come the other direction towards me? You want to know who it was? It was one of them state troopers. Now, I'm not in my Metcalf and Monroe County. I don't know all these guys. And my blood pressure went up just a little bit. And I looked over at Sheila, and Sheila looked back at me. And I know what Sheila was thinking. I knew they were going to get you. I wasn't going to say anything to you. And all these thoughts started coming through my mind. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have a ticket. Oh, Lord, what's going to happen? Nick's going to have to preach tomorrow because I ain't going to be able to be at church. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. And you know what that state trooper did? He just took his finger up this windshield and went like this. You know what that meant to Paul Mills? Slow down. I believe every once in a while God needs to do that to us, doesn't he? Just look at us and say, you just need to slow down. You need to take a deep breath. You need to allow, and we should be so thankful that we still live in the United States of America and we're free and free indeed, right? To be thankful for that. And we should be so thankful as we get closer to Thanksgiving. We should be so thankful that we have a church to come and worship in, don't we?
Amen.
To slow down and take those things in our life. But so often, we don't have those characteristics in our life that we need. James says one of those things is we need to be quick to listen. How many of you here this morning are good listeners? Lord, none of us. And you're all listening to me preach. I'm in a bad shape, aren't I? It's hard to find good listeners, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, we only want to hear who? Now, be honest. Ourselves. We just love. Probably the voice that you love hearing more than anybody else is your own. In this life, because you think to yourself a lot. When I'm talking, I'm right, and I know I'm right. I don't know about any of these other folks, because a lot of times what we do is, when somebody is talking to us, we're not actually listening to what they say. We are thinking about what? What we're going to say. And how that we're going to say something better than them. And how that we're not doing it. Well, James says, you need to be quick to listen. How can we understand that? Well, I believe there's somebody that talks to us all the time, isn't there? I believe God talks to us, doesn't he? And that still, small voice that is there, that is talking to us each and every day of our lives, where we can just listen to God and feel his spirit. There is nothing wrong as Christians just to be quiet for a minute, is there? Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong for us as Christians to say, I just want to listen to God and know more about him. When I was doing radio, one of the worst things that you could ever have is dead air. You know what dead air is? When there's no music playing, when there's nobody talking, when there's nothing on there at all you hear, and you'll do that every once in a while on radio, you'll hear it and you'll say, well, what in the world happened? Nobody's talking? Nobody's saying anything? I think so often we need some dead air in our lives, don't we? Just a moment to listen to God. Just a moment to say, God, I'm going to listen to you and feel your presence in my life. I believe one of the things that we as Christians so often do is we just don't take time to listen to God, do we? We just don't listen to God and ask God, God, how would you like for me to handle this situation? What would you like for me to do in my life? Learn to have that conversation with God and learn more about him. Over in Luke 8:18, it says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not even want what they think, they will be taken from them. Be careful how you listen. James says not only do you need to be careful how you listen, you need to be slow to speak. Well, we could talk forever on that, couldn't we? And a lot of you could write down a lot of stories about your husbands and wives about that, right? Slow. You ever said things in your mind, it comes out of your mouth, and you wish you could just hit the rewind button? Any rest of y'all like that? No, you never do that. I think I would stay on the rewind button, wouldn't you? I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. So often we just say the first things that come to our mind. As a good Christian, it should be something godly, shouldn't it? If you have God upon your heart and your mind as a good Christian, the first thing that comes to your mind should be something that you say that is what? Godly, not what? Hurtfully. And we, in our society today, we not only have words that we say. You ever got a text that hurt your feelings before? No, preacher. Of course we have. I remember when text first came out, I didn't understand that you didn't do anything with capital letters. Because capital letters mean what? You're yelling at somebody. Well, in society today, we get texts and all types of things. You ever seen a text before and you see the little dot, dot, dot? What's that mean? They're going to reply. And you're sitting there waiting, dot, dot, dot. What are they going to say? Did I say something I shouldn't have said? One big thing comes to your mind, what? Did I hurt their feelings? Did I say something I shouldn't say? Said there, dot, dot, dot. I was talking to, we used to have a little problem with our Hulu the other day, and I was on there chatting. I didn't even know I knew how to do that, but I learned how to chat the other day online. And I would send a message back to that person, and then they'd go dot, dot, dot. And then guess what the dot would do? It'd go away. And then the dot, dot, dot would come back up again. So often that's the way we are, aren't we, in society? You're scared to death. You're worried about all those type of things. Christ says one of the things that we need to be speaking more about than anything else is we need to be speaking more about God, don't we? We all know there's people out in the world today that needs to hear about Him, don't we? Who do you know today that needs God? Who do you know today that is not here at church or any church? Who do you know today that if you got a call today that something tragic had happened to them? Who do you know today that you would think in your mind, I hope heaven is what? Their home. I hope they made the decision to turn their heart and life over to God. As Christians, we're going to speak a whole lot. And if you come to our Sunday school class, we do a great job of speaking, don't we, Nick? And we can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about a lot of things that go on out in the world. But I believe as Christians, the number one thing that we need to be talking about is God. And how good God is to us. Take that big, deep breath of the goodness of God. And as you go out into the world, you take that with you. As you go out into the world, you say to yourself, you know, not only am I going somewhere, but praise be to God, God's going with me. And I'm going to take God with me. And I'm going to share the goodness of God with others. Today, I believe as a society, no matter who you are, there's one thing they've never took away from you. They've never took away the opportunity for you to be able to speak, have they? They've not never took away your voice. And as Christians, I believe one of the most important things that we need to do is talk to others about Christ. But Brother Paul, who do I talk to? Who do I share? Praise be to God today. We've got a lot of young people in our church. Aren't you glad of that today? And isn't it great to hear them talk about God? They are not ashamed. You ask them. Talk to them. We have ones that pray during our kids' corners. Ones like Liddy that prayed earlier today. Kids that talk about God and share about God. I've even went over to church, after church. And you may think, all the kids are over there running around, talking about this, doing all those stuff. I walked over there, and you know what I've heard our kids in our church talk about before? They talk about God. Isn't that a blessing? That's just simply a blessing, isn't it? Our kids talking to each other about God. Well, I believe we as Christians, we need to do more of that as we get older, don't we? We need to be talking about God. and sharing about God and sharing the goodness of God with others around about us. James says, not only do you need to be a good listener, and not only do you need to be a person that is slow to speak, but there's another big one there too. Slow to anger. Woo! Preacher, don't do that to me. Don't talk about that. It's going to make me what? Angry. It's going to make me angry. Right there is when you need to take a big deep breath, isn't it? Amen? My daddy told me that one of the big things when Sheila and I got married, my daddy, and I've told a lot of people this before, that when you get ready to get married, big golden rule to go by, never go to bed mad at each other. Y'all ever heard that before? Why would anybody say that to you? Well, I think, if y'all don't know what this word is, come up to me after church and I'll explain what it is to you. But I think things fester. Y'all know what fester is? The longer it lays around, it just gets worse and worse and worse. What happens to us? That's all that sort of goes on in our mind, isn't it? So my dad said to us, son, if you want a good marriage, never go to bed mad at each other. Never do that. So I tried when we was first married. I wouldn't say anything bad from six on, right? But that didn't last long. You know, that didn't last long. But that's a good rule of thumb. I believe not only do you not need to go to bed mad at your spouse. Are you ready for this? Maybe it's a co-worker you don't need to go to bed with mad. Maybe somebody else in your family that you don't need to go to bed with mad. Maybe it's somebody in your church that you don't need to leave the church until you overcome those things. One of the things that I know and I am going to be so happy about and you're going to be so happy about, there is no place in heaven for anger, is there? Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? Let's say that again. There is no place in heaven for anger. Amen?
Amen.
That's a blessing, isn't it? A lot of things ain't going to be there. But anger is not going to be a part of heaven. So God says, instead of taking a big deep breath of anger, you need to take a big deep breath of my love and feel more about you in my heart and in my life. Because anger can only lead to many things in our life. Over in Ephesians 4:26 it says, if your anger, do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and not give the devil a foothold. That's all he wants. Just a little foothold in your life to be able to do that. Now I know there's certain people, there's still people today that push my buttons. Anybody else push your buttons? And they know exactly how to push your button. And you know when they're walking towards you, they're going to what? Push your buttons, and you know it's going to happen. That's when you need to say, God, what? Help me. God, I need to hear you inside of me giving what I need in my heart and in my life. As Christians today, just take that big deep breath. Boy, you need a big deep breath when it gets around the holidays, don't you? Around Thanksgiving, and then you're going to jump on into Christmas. Then we got the new year coming. Well, praise be to God. We serve a God that's alive and well on Thanksgiving, don't we? Amen. We serve a God that's alive and well on Christmas, don't we? We serve a God that's alive and well in the new year. Amen. We also serve a God that's alive and well when? Every day. As Christians, take that deep, deep breath of God into your heart and into your life. Okay, preacher, I want to do that. How do I grow as a Christian? How do I take that big, deep breath in my salvation to walk after Christ? How do I accept all of those things in my life? How do I do that? First of all, here at Bethlehem, and most Christians should think this, the first step in your Christian walk is turning your heart and life over to Christ, isn't it? Amen? That's when you accept it. That's when you feel that goodness of Christ come into your heart and into your life. And I believe there's a lot of reasons that we gather here at church. Some people have their own agenda and different things when they go off of church. Got to check this box. Got to do this thing. Got to do something else. We got to have this meeting or discuss these things. I believe the number one thing that the church should be doing is doing their very best to make sure everybody that hears the Word of God has turned their heart and life over to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's the most important thing. So this morning, if you are here and you've never took a deep breath in that salvation, if you've never accepted the glory of God. I've heard some preachers say before, and other people say, you don't need to talk about that every Sunday. Most of the people that come to church is already saved. You don't need to talk about that every Sunday, about turning your heart and life over to Christ. Well, let me tell you what. I think it's a great responsibility to make sure that word's heard every day, right? So if you're here this morning, and you've not breathed in the love of God, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, listen, all you have to do is ask, don't you? It's nothing, something you've got to do, A, B, C, D, E, and F, and if you, all the above, and all these types of things. All you have to do, and I've been preaching for a whole lot of time, a long time, there's been Christians here longer than me, but as far as I understand the Word of God is, to be saved, all I have to do is ask. And all I have to do is call upon the grace of God. Well, praise be to God today. No matter where we are, God is with us. So if today's the day that you need to turn your heart and life over to Him, today is the day to do so. Well, preacher, what happens to me after that? I want to breathe in more to go, God, what do? I've been saved. I've turned my heart and life over to Christ. I've been saved. Well, we all agree today, that's the first deep breath, isn't it? You just took the breath of God. And you're saying to yourself, preacher, I feel God, and I know heaven's my home, and what is my next step? Well, we've been doing a really good job here at Bethlehem, haven't we? We've been doing a lot of baptisms, haven't we? We're even looking at a baptistry here at the church, and all those types of things. People say, why are you baptized? Well, I believe that's that next step in your Christian walk, isn't it? You ever noticed anybody when they're getting ready to be baptized? It's a rough feeling. I've been there, and you've been there too. And the ones that have just got baptized here at church, it's an interesting feeling, isn't it? Because you stand there by yourself. You've got people around about you, but you're there all by yourself. And you've got to be able just to lay back, don't you? And fall back into somebody's arms, and that person secures you and then raises you back up out of that water. And people say, why do you do that? Why do you have baptisms? Why do you do all those types of things? Well, I think one of the biggest things about being baptized is you saying, I'm going to let go and let God, right? That God that took me under the water is going to bring me what? Back out of that water. And now I am filled with that great Holy Spirit that I have in my heart and in my life. And now I am able to breathe the goodness of Christ. Well, preacher, I've been saved. I've been baptized. I've made all of that decision. Well, one of the greatest things here at Bethlehem, and we've done a pretty good job of that here in Lakeview, is becoming a new member here at Bethlehem. Some folks say, well, what? Do I have to do this? I have to do the other thing? Well, here at Bethlehem, we say you got to be saved. And what? Got to be baptized. And you're able to stand before a church and say, this is where I want to be my church home. I want to take that big, deeper breath every Sunday and say, this is where God wants me to be. So today, I know my sermons sometimes mean a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of different people. But today, whatever Christ has talked to you about today, what are you going to do with it? Going to take a big, deep breath, aren't you? And say, Christ, I know this is where you want me to be. And Christ, this is where I'm going to do my very best to go in my life. So today, whatever He's talked to you about today, we invite you to come. So we have a closing song.